Blog Talk Radio.
Then. All right. Sorry about that.
All right.
I have a technical challenge there. But we're back on track. So, how are you today?
I'm well, Nancy. How are you today?
I'm doing well as well. I had fun last night. I was at a wine tasting for a charity event.
Wow.
I did. I will admit, I slept in a little bit today.
And for everybody out there, that means Nancy probably slept till 5:30 instead of almost 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, a little bit later than that. That's okay. I still got up. Yeah, it was still morning.
She's a farm girl.
Yeah.
Early
oh, yeah.
for you and late for you is still early for me. I'm certain.
So I know we've had this topic before, but I thought it was worth repeating because there may be some new listeners out there and some new tips that we can provide. But I was working with a client the other day, and they had selected a voiceover person.
Okay.
And it was interesting. He actually sent this interesting document that outlined how you were to work with him. You know, how to, you know, if you need directions, what type of read that he's going to be doing, what type of file formats he provides. So I thought that today would be a good day to have a refresher course on, you know, good secrets around or good tips around recording your voice for various types of audio content.
Yeah.
And that's right in your bailiwick tool set. And then talk about once you've created the content, like if it's for a project for someone else, how to get the file to them, how to distribute it, or if it's for public use, how to, you know, different pathways of where you can give people access to, let's say it's a podcast or it's an interview or whatever it might be that, you know, what are the options that are people doing today? Because, you know, video is really kind of dominating. You and I are still big fans of telling a good story without pictures.
Absolutely. That's the theater of the mind.
Uh-huh. So
I feel like we
should
have some sound effects for that phrase.
You know, we'll add them later in post.
Big echoey sound. Theater of the mind.
Future. So let's start with just how to prepare to record your voice, regardless of if it's for commercials, if it's for e-learning, if it's for singing, if it's for, you know, all of that stuff. So you probably have some really good pointers around that because that's something you do almost every single day.
Get a finalized script.
Mm.
That's number one.
Okay.
Get a finalized script. There is nothing worse. I to receive a script that you know is going to be changing, especially if you feel that, you know, you may be a more novice voiceover narrator and you need the extra time. Certainly it's great to look at it if you want to, but don't get married to it if it's going to be changing. And know that when they hand it off to you, that those words are really important. Is this the final version of the script? Has this been approved by the client? Now, bear in mind, things will possibly change after you've recorded it or maybe during. But starting with a good, solid script is such an important thing. And then read it. Read it to yourself. Look for things that you have questions about. Maybe, you know, this is the first time that these words on the page have ever been said aloud, even though they're designed for an e-learning course or something like that.
Right.
Sometimes phrasing just sounds goofy when said aloud. And, again, you've got to know your client and determine whether or not you feel comfortable contacting him about it. But I think if you try to do it in a very nice way of saying, hey, I was noticing this sentence seems a little bit trippy when, or like tripping off the tongue, it's not working right for me.
Right.
When I say it, is there any way that I could possibly, could we rework that? Or maybe sometimes, you know, that with all the cutting and pasting, sometimes things get cut and pasted incorrectly, or the find and replace replaces the wrong word in several instances. so just know that it's not like the copywriter is an idiot. I think trying to not ever put that in your head, but just know that people are busy doing a lot of things, and they really need you to do your voiceover as quickly as possible. And for you to be successful, you want to make sure that you're recording what they're wanting. So those things are really, really important. I try to keep, when I'm doing my first initial read through the script, just kind of a running list of questions so that I'm not peppering them like little baby ducks, biting them with questions, but I save it for one long question email about things. And then you get a feel for tone, and then I would, you know, also then validate, is that the tone they really want?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes getting a sample together and reading tone, if you're just not sure with a new client, is also really helpful. You know, read a slide or two to them, even just over the phone. Sometimes I'll just get them on the phone for, I promise, a five-minute call, and I'm going to read this to you, and is this what you want it to sound like?
Right.
Really can head off a lot of problems later, so that you have a good idea of what they really want. You're on the same page, and you can go forward and do a good read for them.
Now, let's take a step back even before that. So is there something that you do with your physical voice?
Oh,
like
warm-ups and stuff?
Warm-ups or certain foods to avoid. I know for singing, any dairy products, they say to kind of stay away from, because it kind of clogs up your throat a little bit.
And I think you have to know your own body for sure. I always have a big glass of room temperature water when I'm getting ready to record. I don't eat sugar or anything sugary beforehand, because for me, that is a recipe for phlegm and mouth sounds that I don't like. I don't know that everybody reacts that way, but that's how it is for me. If I had a piece of chocolate or something before, which sounds so lovely, all those recording studios always have so much candy and wonderful stuff, and I always partake in it, but I partake in it after I'm done. I also do warm up the voice. I say Gilbert and Sullivan lyrics is really helpful. They're really helpful. I'm serious.
You say Gilbert and Sullivan?
Yes. How beautifully blue the sky, the glasses rising very high, continued fine, I hope it may, and yet it rained just yesterday. Yeah, absolutely. Much faster than that, but try to articulate everything, waking up the tongue for me so that I can have some good articulation, but not so much so that it sounds staid or hopefully not too narratory.
Right.
Because that's not the type of read I like to give. Nothing wrong with that. That's not my bailiwick for sure. And I try to pretend I'm talking to somebody I know, somebody I like, somebody I want to convey some information to.
Now, the other thing you do is, that's great. And the other thing you do, I think, which is something people don't even think about, is you stand up.
Oh, yes. Great, great memory. I learned that the hard way. Of course, when you're in the studio, you're always standing. But when you're in your home studio, it's so easy. You can get a desktop mic stand, and you can sit in your chair.
Yeah.
And
that's how I do it.
I have a client say to me, I don't know what you did differently, but I just love how this last thing sounded. Not that everything else didn't sound great, but this one really sounded. And you know what it was? I was standing up. And I decided to not divulge that piece of information, but tucked it away as a rule from now on. And honestly, it's so much about sitting all day long anyway that is not healthy for you. So I get up and stand at my mic, and I go back to the computer, and I take all that exercise as exercise rather than, how can I make that closer? Honestly, I probably want to make it a little longer. Because it makes a huge difference. And really to hear from clients was really a wake-up call, so to speak.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so now that we know how to get our voice ready and our posture ready and looking at the script itself,
mm-hmm.
Have you ever run into a situation where you've asked for feedback, didn't get it, and then after the fact they want you to redo it?
Yeah, I did get it, and I thought I was on track in the right direction and ended up re-recording the entire piece for a second
Oof.
Time, which it's one of those lessons that I go back to in I don't think I was the right voice for the project.
Mm.
And no matter how much amount of
mm-hmm.
reworking it,
yep.
I had worked with a client in a different capacity before. I'd been a voice person for them, but they worked at a different company. And had always been really happy with my work, but when it got to this new place, they needed a different read. And I never felt good about it. They seemed to be fine, and they did hire me for a couple other things, but I think there's a situation where you kind of try and you work it, and then you realize, you know what, I think you need somebody else. And I think knowing when to say no is a really
mm-hmm.
important
mm-hmm.
lesson to learn in helping somebody get what they need. I think you've run into that too, not so much for voice, but for just realizing that, oh, wait, the solution to this problem is another company and not me.
Right.
Let me help you find
right.
that.
Yeah. And I think they'll come back to you the next time because you're honest
yeah.
with them versus just, you know, I need the money, so I'll make it work versus this isn't what you need.
Yeah.
You need
it's not a fun process. I mean, really, my experience has been when things are going right with voiceover, it is such a lovely, effusive process, and people are so happy, and they just, everything that you do seems to be sparkling with gold. It's just, it's a lovely experience. You get really addicted to it. And then when it's not, you know.
Yeah.
To the point of getting line reads, you know, like, can you just say it this way? And you find yourself thinking, maybe,
mm-hmm.
why
Ooh,
don't you
yeah.
this? But,
why
you
don't
know,
you read it? No.
yeah. You kind of feel that way, but I mean, often, you know, sometimes people give you line reads just because they don't have a lot of time and they just need it done, and they aren't a young woman and they
mm-hmm.
can't do the voice they need, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just don't have time, but it does happen, and you just have to keep your head together. If you're in the middle of a situation and just try to give them what they want, maybe talk about things in a little bit different terms if the words aren't making sense to you. Don't keep using the same words. You know, let's try to use
right,
some different
right.
words to describe what it is. I think you're asking for a kind of a Christopher Walken sound. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the you know, just or are we looking at a President Obama kind of cadence? So it's, okay, we can do that. You know, that's fine.
Right, right.
It's a very different thing. So
interesting.
You know,
so
is that helpful?
Yeah, that's helpful. And so when you record, would you say the majority of the time you're using Audacity for your recording software?
I am always using Audacity to record.
Okay.
Unless I have to record something on my iPhone. Yeah, I love to use their recorder directly. But yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
So, because this came up the other day, I was talking to somebody that may record her own voiceover, and she says, well, what about the levels? And, you know, if I don't do the whole session in one sitting, you know, how do I do that? Because she kept delaying this. I said, why are you, you know, you can record this. She's like, well, I have to get to the studio. I said, no, you don't need to get to a studio. I said, just download this software.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it yourself at home. Just get a good mic. And she's all worried about that the levels are going to be different and how do I set that up? And I just said, I don't think it's going to be an issue if it's just you and your voice, but there probably is something to be said for that. So I don't know if you have
yeah.
certain parameters
yeah,
that you use.
Yeah, I typically try to record afternoon
mm-hmm.
because my voice has a variety of tones, which I've learned through recording myself at multiple times a day.
Yep.
And so I try to record at the same times every day. And also taking care of your voice, I think, is also really important. You know, if you're somebody who's prone to having a lot of mucus in their throats and that kind of thing, then, go to an allergist. Let's work on that. Use a Medipod, things that are going to be helpful to you. And then also, I have a mark on the floor that I put my feet on to keep my proximity from the mic always at the same time. I also make note when I'm in the studio of the same thing, because knowing my distance to the mic is going to affect the volume with which the microphone is going to be picking me up. It's also going to change the feeling of what it is you're recording. Certainly standing back to the mic has more of a room sound, and standing closer to the mic has a much more intimate sound. And you can just figure that out by playing with it. But I think sometimes people are afraid to record themselves. There is a lot of personal reflection that happens. You are your worst critic. Having somebody else listen to you and give you feedback is really helpful. And going to take a class or hiring a coach to work with you can also be really helpful in helping you build your own confidence about your voice. So many people seem to, the first time they start recording themselves, they just want to retch when they hear themselves. They're not used to hearing what we sound like. And it's such an interesting process to get used to hearing your own voice in your head and your own voice in the microphone. And
well, same thing as for on screen, too. You know, just getting used to seeing yourself on a camera. That's
Yeah.
I think that's even worse, though. It's like, oh, I look like that. Oh, what am I doing?
It's always amazing to me what really famous actors do not ever watch their work. Voice stunned. I'm like, what? Why? Come on. You
and they
get
just
better.
Cringe. I know. So now, so now we're in Audacity land.
Yeah.
Do you record stereo, mono? What's kind of your ideal setup typically that you use?
Oh, I record mono.
That's what I do too.
My mic does. I have a USB mic. It's a good USB mic, but it was a couple hundred dollars, and it's very forgiving of external sounds. I've been in some recording studios where they've, you know, converted a closet basically to turn into a vocal booth. And I can hear the Metro train outside while I'm recording. And I'll stop. I'm like, can you hear that train?
Ooh,
like, I can hear it, but the mic can't hear it. I was like, kidding
good.
Me. And they're like, nope, the mic can't hear it. Okay, all right, because my mic would certainly hear that.
Well, that's probably a bi-directional or unidirectional.
It's got to be a bi-directional mic. Mine at home is a cardioid-shaped pattern. But anyway, that's getting way deep. But anyway, it's, you know, those kinds of things with the microphone and knowing how sensitive things are. I also use some EQing, and I use some compression after the fact. And then I also do some noise reduction just to be safe. I don't record with headphones. Some people do, and that's totally fine. I just don't. I do in the studio, but not at home. And I don't edit with headphones on, because I have already really sensitive ears, and I will hear so much junk in there that it's driving me crazy.
Yeah,
so
you
try
to get it done.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, my goodness. So, but know that your people may be listening to it on headphones. You might want to get a kind of crappy pair of headphones to listen to it, just to make sure. Really fine studio headphones are awesome for mixing and stuff, but we're not mixing recorded music. You know?
We're doing
stuff that is audio, and they're going to be listening to it on
$1 million.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Good, good. Okay. And so I'm just looking at my own version of Audacity here to see if there's any. You know, so basically I would say for e-learning, I would recommend, you know, even though WAV files are higher quality, most instances people want you to save them as MP3s just because it's compressed to a smaller file size, because the course is being built, it gets bigger and bigger. And even when you do that, publish it, it's going to convert all them to MP3s anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well save your safe on the your space when you're trying to transport those files, either through some type of shared folder or Google Drive or some kind of external FTP site.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense to eat up that space, even though it's storage is cheap these days. But after a while, if you do this a lot, it's going to add up and that's going to get full.
Absolutely. It's so odd to me. You're right. People continually want WAV files, and it's just what's the difference? What would you say? A minute of voiceover in an MP3 versus a minute of voiceover in a WAV file. The MP3 is going to be under a meg, and the WAV file is going to be what, somewhere 6 to 9 megs. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
A minute.
Oh yeah. Yeah. At least.
Now one is
so
compressed and one is not. I mean, that's what you're getting with the WAV files. It's not compressed, but still. Like you said, when you publish, it's going to...
And the untrained ear is not going to pick that up.
No. Now, here's one thing I will say, getting into the world of compression and stuff, is now I have had a horrible experience using, like, the recorder built into, say, Articulate, or the recorder built into Captivate.
Camtasia.
No.
Camtasia.
No, Camtasia, sorry.
Yeah.
It makes me sound like I have a horrible lisp, and I don't have a horrible lisp. And if I take the same audio I've recorded in Audacity and put it into Camtasia or Articulate, it doesn't have that problem.
Yeah.
But if I use their recording codec that they have, for some reason, with my voice, I can't say it does it with everybody, but for me, the quality is so... I wouldn't do the work if I had that as my option. I mean, it sounds so poor. That makes me want to retch. It's like,
I don't know why. It just must be the codec that they're using to capture it. Because, I've not had success myself using their system for recording voice. And it's, I don't know, to me, it's also easier to edit it in Audacity than in their tool.
Absolutely.
So for those of you using Camtasia, that might be a little tip. If you've had those frustrations, try just doing your voiceover in Audacity and then plugging it into your Camtasia file.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's
It's
night and day.
Well, it is. It is. And so, so let's say our recommendation is to export as MP3, if you can. And then transporting it, let me go back. So when you are recording, I think you've done this. I don't always do this, but one little trick in Audacity that I think you probably use all the time is you have multiple tracks on one screen, right?
What do you mean? I have multiple tracks in the window.
So,
yes.
In a window, like say you're recording multiple things that will become separate files.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And so to save time, I think what you do is you export
multiple files.
Multiple files, but I'm looking at export audio, export selected audio. I'm trying to see which one of me says. Multiple. Okay, so use the export multiple, and it will save each of those tracks as an individual file.
Absolutely.
Correct? Yep.
And it will use the track name that you've defined for it, or it will... create a numeric one through whatever number of tracks you have based on a prefix or suffix that you've set up for the naming convention.
Right.
But so often I run into people whose courses do not start at one and they sometimes skip, so doing that is not an option. So, and it's hard to find them afterwards anyway if you don't name each track.
I mean, you can rename them within the track itself or after the fact, but just as a kind of a time saver versus record, save, start over again, record, save.
right, absolutely. Another thing you can do, Nancy, I've done with slides that are very short that made sense that I could read nearly the whole script at one shot. I'll record that all together as one long track. And then you can use labels within Audacity to break up each track. which is kind of like how some people insert audio in Articulate, or maybe did a long time ago. And that works okay as long as you know when you're starting at the beginning that your labels are are different than your track. So if you edit something in the front, it's going to affect everything going forward. It's a little it's a little mind warpy, but again, if it calls for it, it's something you can do. And then you can export the tracks based on the label, and it does exactly the same thing.
Well, I have not used the label
It's fun.
Feature yet, so I'm going to check that out. Well, we are down to our last 5 minutes, so we're not going to get too much. That just flew by. Not going to get too much into the topic. The other half of this is, once you have the file, what can you do with it? So if you're doing it for e-learning, we just kind of lightly touched upon that. But, you know, maybe in our next show we can talk about different ways of distributing your content through, you know, if it's a podcast, if it's an interview type thing, if it's streaming versus downloading, embedded files, different file formats, pros, cons, make sure it's optimized for mobile, all that good stuff. And it is interesting, you even touched upon it briefly, but using your phone to record audio, that's another avenue that we haven't really gotten into, but maybe we can touch upon that too, because it is just so amazing to me how powerful our smart devices are these days and what they're capable of. There's just tons and tons of audio recording apps out there that are free. You can edit it on the fly. You know, people don't think about using their cell phone as a portable recording device to capture those moments, or to be, you know, if you're at a seminar, or if you're at a trade show, walking up to people and asking them to provide you you know, feedback on something, or what did you think of that? You know, we were just both in that session together. What did you think of that? And being able to capture that kind of man, woman on the street kind of interview is interesting. And I think sometimes people think they have to have all this fancy equipment for it. And quite frankly, you know, the thing you're carrying around in your pocket or your purse all day long is fully capable of doing that.
And they've gotten really good at canceling out noise outside of your voice. It's just phenomenal, the power of the device we have in our hands.
Really, well, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of science that's gone into that noise reduction, and that's why when you're speaking into your phone for text-to-speech, or speech-to-text, it's gotten better and better because, you're right, it's blocking out some of that background noise that normally would have interfered with how it would actually transcribe that to text from your speaking voice. So the consumer market is certainly driving, perfecting that type of technology, but that is also a win for us that like to record things and gives us, you know, a very low-cost, portable, powerful recording device that, you know, people don't think about sometimes. So I think that's an area that I'd like to explore in our next episode and talk about different distribution channels as well.
I will definitely be there.
All right. Well, thank you. You've been a wealth of knowledge for our listeners out there that may be thinking of starting to get into recording their voice, or those that are already doing it. But hopefully we've given them some tips that help create efficiencies.
Absolutely. Well, you have a great weekend, Nancy.
All right, you too. Thanks, everyone, for listening.